Welcome to the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com.
Hello and welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com. We go live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and check in on the world of golf to bring you the latest news, insights, analysis, interviews. Hey, we talk anything and everything golf. My name is Carlos Torres. Every week, I'm alongside my co-host, Fred Alvader. Fred, hi, how are you today?
Carlos, I'm outstanding. Another great day here in Toledo. Hey, we've got a lot to talk about, even though the golf season is winding down on most of the world's golf tours. We have so much golf news and information to cover, I'm not sure we can fit it into just 60 minutes tonight, Carlos. Alexander Lavey won the Rain Short and Portugal Masters on the European Tour. Shan Shan Fang won in Malaysia on the LPGA. And Sang Min Bai collected his second PGA Tour title at thefries.com on Sunday, the first event of the 2014-2015 PGA Tour schedule. So let's go, Carlos. Let's talk some golf.
Unbelievable. The PGA Tour started already. And also, they're playing the PGA Grand Slam of Golf, where Martin Kaymer started roaring out of the gates, and he's leading there. Bubba Watson, Rory McIlroy, and Jim Furyk. They're just having fun there. Bermuda. But hey, let's mention that we're going to have our VIG, a very important guest, will be Peter Krastius. He's the founder and CEO of the Golf Match app. So don't miss it. It's going to be right after our Par 5 news, which, as usual, Fred, you're going to tee it off. And I believe there's something you're going to talk to us about Nike Golf.
Yeah, you know, we had a story a couple weeks ago about the gentleman at TaylorMade moving up to Adidas, getting a promotion after screwing up the equipment market for golf. But on Nike's side, President Cindy Davis, who's been the president since 2008, announced that she plans to retire from the company. Davis is 52 years old, first joined Nike Golf as a general manager in the mid-2000s after serving as a senior vice president at Golf Channel and various roles for the Arnold Palmer Golf Company. A successor will be named later, according to a release. We thank Cindy for her leadership throughout the years as she had led the development and growth of Nike's golf business worldwide. Under Cindy's direction, Nike Golf has steadily delivered profitable growth year after year since 2009. You know, perhaps, Carlos, she's going to be remembered most for luring Rory McIlroy into the Nike fold back in 2013. It's, you know, nearly impossible to forget how the much-talked-about relationship began via a laser light show in Abu Dhabi. Remember that, extravaganza? Then the all of 2013, Rory struggling with the new ball, the new clubs, you know, all that drama. And 2 months ago, the company made a high-powered product launch for the Vapor line of woods and irons when pitchman Tiger Woods and Rory both made an appearance on The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon. Fallon, in turn, joined Woods and McIlroy in the New York media gathering. So Nike, you know, always likes to make the big push, the big glitz. Nike's golf sales were reported $789 million in its most recent fiscal year, up more than $60 million since 2008, the year Davis assumed the president role. Nike Golf, though, has, you know, it's always been a minuscule part of all the Nike brand. You know, Nike brand revenues increased 9% between this year and last. It went up from $21.9 billion in 2013 to $23.8 billion in fiscal year 14. So Nike Golf doesn't – it's not a big part of the overall Nike brand. But I'm sure Phil Knight watches the balance figures there. He doesn't want too much red showing up. So Cindy Davis done a pretty good job, you know, in that position. She's had a nice career. She's moving on to do something else.
Yeah, like you mentioned, maybe it's not a big part, but in the world of golf, it's really been a big part, and she really has set up the bar very high for whoever's going to come back now and replace her, so we'll see how it goes. Hey, I'm going to talk a little bit about the European Tour now. I have a couple of news to talk about, and let's start talking about Volvo. They announced that they're withdrawing their sponsorship from two of their biggest events that are right now on the European Tour schedule. You know, the manufacturer of cars from Sweden, they have been associated with the European Tour for 27 years, but they will no longer be back to back up the World Match Play Championship or the South African-based Golf Champions event from next year on. A week ahead of the Volvo World Match Play, which is right this weekend at the London Club in Kent, the company, they confirmed they would focus solely on the Volvo China Open for the foreseeable future. A Volvo statement read, "Focus will turn to one of the brand's key markets, China. The program around the Volvo China Open, with its 20 years history, will be enhanced further with a new 5-year agreement in place." This news really comes as a huge blow to the tour, particularly with the Champions Tournament, which since 2011 has kickstarted the year. The tournament was due to take place in the second week of January, probably in Durban, but now it's in doubt. While the loss of that $4 million event will be keenly felt by the European Tour and would lead to some last-minute scrambling before the calendar is announced pretty soon, the demise of the match play would be of wider concern, and that is why the tour and the promoters IMG have vowed to bankroll the event for at least 1 year. You know, the sports management agency IMG, who organize and promote a number of events there on the European Tour, responded to that announcement by claiming that they were confident of finding new backing for the World Play Match and the Golf Champions Tournament next year. So a big blow, but, well, hopefully they can find something, especially when they have to compete against the PGA Tour with all that backing, all those sponsors, all that big money. That's a really huge blow for them. But, hey, there's not everything bad news, just something very good for them, and it's that the European Tour, he also announced that the European Open will be returning to the calendar next year. It was last staged in 2009, so this tournament will be held in September next year at the Hartel Resort in Bad Griesbach in Germany. Previous winners of this event include Dan Clark, Colin Montgomery, Greg Norman, Lee Westwood, and next year's edition will be carrying a purse of 2 million euros, so very good purse for them. The European Open was first held in 1978, but has never been played in continental Europe. This will be the first time, so next year will be the second time the European Tour event staged in Germany next year. So along with the BMW International Open, that will be the second one in Germany, Fred.
Hey, Carlos, we've got some more Olympic golf news making headlines this week. You know, pretty much any time a new course is being done or some renovation or something, we hear the names Tom Doak, Gil Hance, or Bill Kerr and Ben Crenshaw. But you know what? They finally lost a course design to Tom Fazio, who was selected to renovate the Kasum Igaseki golf course for the 2020 Olympics, Carlos, that will be held in Tokyo. We're talking 2020 here, you know, so we haven't even seen Gil Hance's design down in Rio or whether it's going to be ready or, you know, what we're going to run into down there, and they're already talking about the 2020 Olympics. So following a meeting at the club in early September, officials from the USGA, RNA, and the International Golf Federation, together with the Kasum Igaseki and Japan Golf Association, agreed that Kasum Igaseki's East Course, not a composite course, would host the event. It was at that meeting the club expressed its desire to retain Tom Fazio to remodel the East Course for the event. Fazio would not comment on the specific changes, stating only they would undertake an evaluation of the entire 36-hole complex before proceeding on both short-term and long-term alterations. Club officials, however, are confident that Fazio, who serves as Augusta National's consulting architect, I'd like to have that on your resume. I work for Augusta National. Will take the project in the right direction. Construction is expected to begin in the fall of 2015, and the biggest change will be eliminating the current two green system. They have two greens on this golf course. One green serves the summer for grass for the summer, and the other green does for the winter. But that's kind of old school. Advances in turf technology have made that practice obsolete, so they're going to be getting rid of one of those sets of greens all through the course and reseeding with modern grass. A sticking point concerning the scope of the renovations has been who would pay for them. It always comes down to the money, Carlos. It never fails. It's all about the money. But the IGF recently agreed to share in the costs and contribute funds in conjunction with the club's efforts. Further refinements to the East Course will include clearing trees, creating new back tees to add length, and revising bunker placements to conform with modern driving distances. Originally opened for play in 1929, the Kasumigaseki East remains largely the work of one of the famous architects, Charles U. Allison, who also created Hirono Golf Club and Kiwanis Fuji Course. These are Japan's best-rated courses. They want to try and keep those characteristics intact. That's why they chose Fazio to do the renovation. Kasumigaseki East is Japan's most renowned tournament course. Both the club's East and West courses are frequent sites for important Japanese events like the Japan Open and the Asian Amateur, which offers a Masters invitation to its winner. It was the East course, however, that catapulted Japanese golf into the world prominence when it played host to the 1957 Canada Cup, which is now the World Cup, the two-man team championship that pits country versus country. A young Gary Player competed for South Africa, and Sam Snead matched the course record of 67 for the United States, but it was Japan that broke through for a stunning upset victory. The team of Torikichi Nakamura and Koichi Ono took the title, with Nakamura capturing the low individual honors. They became national heroes overnight and started a golf boom that's still going today in Japan. So Japan's going to be the site of the 2020 Olympics, Carlos. Tom Fazio has got the job to renovate the golf course. It's been there since 1929 and bring it up to modern standards. So should be a lot easier job than what Gil Hans is experiencing down in Rio de Janeiro.
Anything is an easier job than what Gil Hans has. So I don't think anybody wants to be in those shoes right now. But Tom Fazio, wow. He overcame them, Crenshaw Core, and Tom Doak. Wow, big names. Big win for him. Hey, another big win I'm going to talk about is about the great Alexander Walter Barr Lyle, better known as Sandy Lyle. Hey, Sandy Lyle won the 2014.
Kieran's good buddy, Sandy Lyle? He did something?
Yeah, I bet he's right now celebrating this, and he must be already all the weekend until the next weekend he'll be celebrating.
Is that his
Sandy
problem?
Lyle.
He over-celebrated Sandy Lyle's win?
Yeah, I think he does. You know, all week he'll be celebrating anyway. But he won the 2014 World Hickory Open Championship that was played at the Panmure Golf Club on the outskirts of Carnoustie. You know, Sandy was the first Englishman to win the Masters in 1988. And this past weekend, he shot a closing 69 in the 36-hole event at Scotland's Panmure Club to beat Paolo Curisci of Switzerland and Andrew Marshall of England by 3 strokes on a tournament that had more than 100 competitors participating this year. Sandy was swinging there a set of Catmore's Hickory clubs to shoot that 74 and 69 in what is only a 36-hole event, but he won. Any win is a win. So, hey, presenting the award was the tournament chairman, Lionel Friedman, and he was joking that Lyle had won another major. You know, Lyle was in good spirits. He said, oh, this is one of the best victories in my whole life. You know, everyone knows he has won twice, 2 majors. He became the first British to win the Open Championship in 1985. Since Tommy Jacklin, and he has been one of the best European players in the 80s alongside Ian Wisdom and Nick Faldo. So, hey, a great European player there. He's a Hall of Famer since 2012. So it's great to see Sammy Lyle, who's now 56, teaching the young guys how to play golf. Okay, he won there the Hickory World Championship. So, hey, good victory for him, Sammy. Congratulations. And to Kieran, hey, great victory. Another one from Scotland.
You know, I've never tried to play golf with the Hickory shafts. I've seen them. I used to have a set before my last divorce. I had a set, but somehow those disappeared. You know how those kind of things happen? One of these days I'm going to have another set to hang up on the wall here. But I've never tried to play with them. I always be afraid I'd break them or something. Not that I swing that hard, but I hear that they're quite difficult to play with. So congratulations to Sandy Lyle. Hey, Carlos, here's one of those stories I look forward to writing and talking about every year since it started last year. 80 junior golfers representing 30 U.S. states and 3 Canadian provinces have earned an invitation to Augusta National Golf Club to compete in the second annual Drive, Chip, and Putt Championship to be played on Sunday, April 5th, prior to the start of the Masters Tournament. A joint initiative by the Masters Tournament, the United States Golf Association, and the PGA of America, the Drive, Chip, and Putt Championship is a free nationwide junior competition focusing on the 3 fundamental skills employed in golf. There were 10 regional qualifiers for the third and final stage leading to the 2015 National Finals, which yielded 5 returning competitors from last year's event. Kelly Zhu of Santa Monica, California, is the lone returning champion who will compete in the girls' 10-11 division after she won the 7-9 division in Augusta last April. The road to Augusta began with local qualifying in May, June, and July, held at more than 250 sites throughout the United States. The top 3 scores per venue in each 4 age categories in separate boys and girls divisions advanced to 49 sub-regional qualifiers in August. 2 juniors in each age and gender division then competed at the regional level through September. The top finisher from each regional site's age and gender divisions earned a place in the national finals, which will be broadcast live on the Golf Channel. All local, sub-regional, and regional qualifiers were conducted by the 41 sections of the PGA of America, with PGA professionals providing support at each facility. Some quick notes from that. There are 5 returning competitors from last year's national finals. Connor Willett, Logan Medcalf, Ashley Gillum, Kelly Zhu, and we mentioned, and Christine Wang all made the finals last year and will return again this year. 2 sets of siblings qualified. Isaiah and Lydia Swan of Northeast Pennsylvania qualified for the boys and girls 10-11 age groups, respectively. And 2 brothers from San Diego, Shane and Colin French, qualified at Torrey Pines. Shane qualified for the boys 12-13, while Colin qualified for the 14-15 division. All championship scoring at the local, sub-regional, and regional qualifiers is based on a 25-point-per-shot basis, with each participant taking 3 shots per skill. So drive, chip, and putt, they get 3 shots at each one. It's 25 points per shot. The max would be 75 points each. The overall champion in each age category was determined by the participant with the most points accumulated between all 3 skills. At the national finals, only 1 champion will be named from each age gender division. Each final will be scored based on a 30-point system, offering the player with the longest drive, 10 points, player with the closest cumulative chips, 10 points, and the player with the nearest cumulative putts, 10 points, in each separate skill. The highest score will determine the winner. So, Carlos, this was really a neat event. I was all for it last year when they announced it. It was great. I really am hoping that I get to Augusta on Sunday for that event. It's on my calendar. I'm going to try and make it. We'll see what happens. But I think it's really one of the neatest things to come along in golf. I remember as a kid competing in the pass, punt, and kick competition that they do still in it for the NFL and football. You know, that was a big deal as a kid. You want to do that. And I think this is a really good deal as a kid. It gets kids started early in the competition of golf and gives them something to shoot for and gets that feeling of you know, practicing and wanting to do better and really getting involved in golf at a very young age.
One of the best stories there to happen in golf, and definitely when you start that young, it stays with you forever. So hopefully we can see more and more of it. Well, that wraps up Par 5 News. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, our VIP, very important guest of the week.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for our VIG, very important guest of the week. His name is Peter Kratzios. He's the founder and CEO of Golf Match App, and he's a person, you know, and he wants the supporters of that app to know that that app is not merely a product, but rather a tool that serves as key to their mission, and that mission is to solve the fundamental problems of both golfers and courses, breaks the barriers of entry for new golfers and diminishes the incentives for golfers to leave the game. So, Fred, set us up this interview that you had with Peter Kratzios, the founder and CEO of the Golf Match app.
Well, as you mentioned, Carlos, it is an app for your smartphone or your tablet, and it helps match golf partners for a round of golf. You know, someone who has just moved to a new city and doesn't know anyone outside, maybe their work, may want to get into a game, but they don't know where to go or they don't know who to play with. So Golf Match App is a place where you can sign up. It will match you with players of similar skills at a golf course that you know, fits what you're looking for and helps fit your game in the location where you're at. So it's kind of unique. He has other plans going forward about helping to put travel groups together, and there's really a wide open field for this thing for it to take off. So interesting conversation with Peter. So if you want to go ahead and run that.
That's right.
We are talking with Peter Kratzios, the co-founder and CEO of GolfMatchApp.com. His app is trying to bring golfers together through technology. You know, we do a lot of talking about growing the game of golf and getting younger people especially involved back involved in the game of golf, and Peter and his group are trying to do something about that. Peter, what is GolfMatchApp.com?
Well, thank you very much for having me, Fred. GolfMatchApp.com right now is an iOS app. That's where all the functionality is. We have a website as well where we have our blog portion and where we list our events. But, you know, essentially what we do is we help people organize and discover matches with the golfers they want to play with at the courses they wish to play at. You know, first and foremost, we're trying to solve the fundamental issues for both golfers and golf courses. You know, you have golfers who are time sensitive. They're price sensitive, experience driven, meaning they want to, you know, find people at times that are convenient for them at courses in their price range. And, you know, everyone has that ideal round in mind, whether that's playing with someone your age, your handicap, you know, competitive game, friendly game, wager even. So everyone's looking for something different, and there's so much granularity in people's expectations of their round that, you know, randomness really gets in the way and doesn't allow that to happen every time. So we say there should be no randomness in a sense, but if you're meeting someone that you've never met before, might as well have that ideal person show up at the first tee with you. And then for golf courses, it drives increased awareness. We work with courses to help retain their community as well. So, you know, what we're trying to go after is helping solve the pain points of both golfers and golf courses.
So So this is not really a relationship site. There's a site called Golf Match to do that per se, but it's a way to connect with other similar with golfers with similar interests in a community.
So, you know, we don't look at it as a romantic type of connection, although we are hands off at that. It's, if that's what you're looking for, that's fine. But you know, in a sense, what we're trying to do is build golf connections, and after the round, help grow those networks and create relationships that don't exist today. So, what you can do is, if we have a great time together on the course, say, follow me on Golf Match, let's set up something in the future. So I don't have to give you my phone number. You can direct message people within the application without using their phone number, which is a great way of organizing these names outside of your contact, your phone book contact, because everyone's, you know, contact lists these days are getting longer and longer. So it provides that separate platform for your golf connections and allows you to speak with them and engage with them very easily.
So if I'm a young, technically savvy person, maybe just got out of college, maybe at my first job, I've just moved into a large metropolitan area, but I want to play some golf, and I don't know anybody, maybe except for my coworkers, and I want to expand my circle of friends and maybe find somebody that has a similar golf interest, maybe a similar golf level. I can go to your app, find someone within my metropolitan area, and also I can find a golf course where we can meet and play around.
Correct. We do everything for the golfer through our algorithms. So what you do is you go on our app, create a profile. It's very basic information, your handicap, what day you want to play, the time you want to play, the type of game you like to play, the tees you want to play from, the industry that you're in. And what we do is through our algorithms, we digest all that information that you've given us, and then we suggest to you the golfers we think are best for you and the courses in your area. So the first golfers you'll see are most likely the ones who match the most criteria that you've selected. So if I go to Discover Golfers right now, the first person I'll see is someone my age, is someone my handicap, is someone in my industry, looking for the same type of game as me at the same day at the same time. So the more we build up our community, the more exact we can get in our suggestions. So you can, of course, filter it out to find anything else you want, but we do all the legwork on our end to suggest the best golfers and courses for you, and then you can decide who you want to play with and where you want to play at.
When did you roll this out? How did you come up with this idea? Who are the people that are involved in getting this thing going?
So it was about 16 months ago, two of my buddies who played lacrosse in college, they wanted to stay competitive with some sort of sport, so they took up golf. That's what everyone does when they can't play college lacrosse anymore, I guess. So they kept asking me, you know, can we play? Do you know anyone else we can play with? And the more I got to thinking about it, I didn't know anyone my age playing golf in my area. I grew up playing competitive golf, but you don't exchange numbers with people in tournaments. That's not too appropriate. So the more I thought about it and being in digital advertising and seeing what was out there on the digital landscape, the more I realized that there needs to be something done to solve these basic issues. Right now there's GPS apps and there's stat tracking and being able to find tee times online, but that doesn't really do anything for the actual golfing experience. So one day I was at work. I was living on Long Island at the time, so I ran to the train to catch it. It was pouring rain outside, and across from me was a pretty young lady who was laughing at me because I looked ridiculous. Turns out she's a 30-year-old, very successful entrepreneur who had came out with an app for her company the day before. So I told her I had an idea for an application. She said she loved it. Her and her boyfriend were just getting into golf. And kind of the rest was history. Started working on it, raised money, brought on a full-time CTO, and we've gone from there. We now have 42 brand ambassadors across the United States who help us hand out postcards to golf courses, to golfers, to retailers. We have several advisors on our board. So we're trying to make this as big and as useful as possible, but you know, at the end of the day, it's still that core mission of creating that best possible golfing experience and helping golfers with whatever they need to create that.
Now, is this available on any smartphone, digital device, iPhone, Droid? What kind of equipment do I need to use your app?
So it's on iPhone right now. We're looking to expand to Android. We're working on it. It's just when you're a small team, it's tough to move fast enough. So we wanted to really perfect the iPhone version before we went to Android, but that's in the process of happening right now. It should be out in about a month and a half. But right now, iOS, soon to be Android and web.
I think you mentioned that you maybe have some events set up through your website also. What's that all about?
So what we're doing is trying to not only create the ideal foursome within our application, but we want to create the ideal events. We want to bring groups of people together who want to play with one another. And if that's four people, that's great. If it's 80 people, even better. So what we've done is we actually created a city championship between New York and Boston, millennial golfers 18 to 34, varying skill levels. So we had three different flights, people shooting the 70s, people shooting the 80s, and people shooting the 90s. That being said, we had two qualifiers in each city, and the city championship was actually in Shining Rock in Massachusetts on Saturday, and it was one hell of a time. New York won 16.5 to 15.5. We had the Back 9 Network out there with their television crew, which will be on their new channel on DirecTV early October. But essentially what we're trying to do with that is create this environment where you're bridging the gap between casual golfers and tournament golfers. You know, the people who usually just play with foursomes and the people who play in intense five-hour-plus rounds where you need a gin handicap, you're paying $170 to join one of these qualifiers. Well, we think there could be something in between the two, where a casual golfer is out there having fun, maybe drinking a beer, enjoying themselves, but getting their blood flowing a little bit, getting them excited and getting them nervous. It's something all the golfers in this event last week who have never played in events before said they absolutely love. So we're looking to expand this to 10 cities going forward, and we're also looking to incorporate other demographics. And the next one we want to do is we want to get everyone who's older than 55 in our area and under a 10 handicap to have a competitive Seniors Day. Then we're going to look to expand to find people just in finance in New York City to have a business networking day. So there's different ways in which we can easily bucket demographics that want to play with each other. They just don't know how to find each other.
Well, that sounds really good. We at the Back 9 Report applaud any efforts to help grow the game of golf, connect golfers, make it a lot more fun for everyone. And sounds like you're really on the right track here and really using technology to bring the golf community together and help golfers find someone to enjoy the game. So, Peter, we certainly appreciate your time today. Is there any final thing, any final comment? We can find you at golfmatchapp.com. Is that correct?
Correct. So our general email is info@golfmatchapp.com. And, my final comment is I would love feedback from your community. We're always trying to make our product better. We're always trying to make our vision smarter. So any feedback anyone in your community has is greatly appreciated. And it'll only help us in the long run help you guys. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Well, again, thank you so much, Peter, for your time. We will look for your app and hopefully watch it grow as we go forward. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Fred. I appreciate it.
That was an interview with Peter Kratzius, the founder and CEO of the Golf Match app. Fred, golfers are either time-constrained or price-sensitive or experience-driven, so that means that they want to find either courses in the price range, late at times that are convenient while having that ideal experience they envision. So this app definitely fits that bill for all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, if you want to try and put a group together, you can go on there, especially if you're around like a bigger city. I'm sure like a New York or a Boston or Philadelphia, something like that. There's probably got to be better odds of finding someone. But even they're expanding even to, out to the Midwest, to the Clevelands and the Chicagos and Detroit. So, there's always a chance to find someone to get a game with. Or, as he mentioned, they're doing their own tournaments. He had mentioned that hopefully in the future that if somebody wants to put together a travel group, say to a Pinehurst or Abandoned Dunes or whatever, you could put it on their site, and hopefully then people would come in and say, hey, I want to do that, but I don't have anybody. Go with this. Sounds like a good group, and jump in. And so you could put a group of 12 or 16 or something like that together and have a nice outing or a nice travel group to go to someone for a golf travel deal. So as he mentioned, they're available. You can find them at golfmatchapp.com. And they're also on Twitter at Golf Match App. So a lot of ways to get a hold of them. They're really sharp people. They've been in the digital marketing, and they are business people, and I'm sure they're going to make a pretty good success with this thing.
So there you have it, golfmatchapp.com. Go there. iOS right now and Android coming soon. Don't go away. When we come back, we have the practice range. We're going to be talking about the winding down of the major tours, LPGA, European Tour, and Champions Tour. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to the Back Nine Report presented by eDraft.com. We'll be right back. Don't forget to check out our co-hosts on Twitter by clicking their names in the episode description. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. Now it's time for our practice range, and we're going to be talking about the final swings of the LPGA, the European Tour, and the Champions Tour. Those three major tours are reaching their peak, their championship season. And we're going to start with the LPGA, which really has right now six tournaments to go, five before the final CME Group Tour Championship. They are going to be playing right now this weekend the LPGA Cab Hanabang Championship in Incheon, South Korea. And that's going to be a tournament that is going to be very interesting because right now, Stacey Lewis is the number one player in the world. She's leading the race to the CME, but she's going to be taking 2 weeks off. So she's going to be opening the door now for either Inbee Park, who just got married yesterday, and she's right there. I don't think that with all those celebrations that she's going to be having this week, she's going to be too focused on it, but she's going to be one of the favorites playing there. So it would be a dream for her to get married in this week and in her hometown and then win as well. So it would be a honeymoon win for her. Lydia Ko also can take the number one with another win. You know, the youngster has been hampered by injuries in her wrist, so hey, she might be looking forward to winning also. She's a native from South Korea, from Seoul, but she is a New Zealander citizen, so she's going to have a lot of press there followed. There are a lot of, for the first time this season, all five major champions are going to be there playing. Lexi Thompson is going to be there. There's going to be Michelle Wee, who's returning from her injury as well. So all five are going to be there. Inbee Park, as we mentioned. So Stacey Lewis is not there. The CME is running now to the final six tournaments. At the final tournament, the points are reset. So the top nine are the ones that can be the winners for the first race to the CME, but only the top three are the ones that can win it outright. So right now, you have to look forward to see who's going to be those top nine players. And Chong Chong Feng, with the win at the CME Derby Malaysia Open last week, she jumped into the top 10, into the top nine. Right now, she's number eight. So, hey, the top nine right now is Stacey Lewis, number one. So you have to look forward for it to see this ending. Anyone can win it right now. Stacey Lewis opening the door. It's going to be a very, very tough close finish there. She's not a lock. There's a lot of competition for her.
Yeah, Carlos, we know we're getting down to the end of the golf season. You know, footballs are flying through the air, and Friday night you drive through these little towns and you see the lights at the football field lit up. So, you know, the days get shorter. It gets dark a lot earlier. So, you know that the golf season is winding down, especially here in the northern United States where I live. You can really feel it. And, you know, we've seen it. The PGA Tour season is officially over. with the end of the FedEx Cup and then the Ryder Cup. Although the Ryder Cup stories, they don't seem to want to die. They just keep going on and on. So, but for the LPGA, as you mentioned, counting this week, the KEB Hanna Bank, there's just six tournaments remaining on the schedule, five before the CME title holders. So you've got these three tournaments in Asia, the Lorena Ochoa Invitational in Mexico, and then the CME title holders back in the U.S. at Naples in Florida. Stacey Lewis continues to lead the race to the CME Globe and the LPGA Tour money list. Three wins, 16 top tens in 24 events, $2.3 million in earnings. She leads the race to the CME Globe by more than 1,200 points over Envy Park, who's had a pretty good year. She's had 14 top tens in 19 events, plus she's getting married. She's the second to Lewis in the money and the race in the CME Globe. She's played in five less events than Stacy, so you know, she's got some ground to make up there. But she's been playing better the last 6 weeks. And Stacy has not been playing that great the last 6 weeks. Matter of fact, Envy went around Stacy in percentage of top tens. Envy is now at 74%. Every time she tees up, 74% of the time she finishes in the top 10. And Stacy, because she finished outside the top 10 again this week, dropped to 67%, which is still just outstanding. But, yeah, complaining she dropped to 67%. Lewis leads in four major statistics on the 2014 LPGA Tour: scoring average, money race, race to CME Globe, and – more important, the player of the year. You know, she was named player of the year a couple years ago, and, you know, she wants to get that honor back again. Lexi Thompson leads the LPGA Tour in driving distance, and Michelle Wee is first in greens and regulation. You mentioned Lydia Ko. She pretty much has the Rookie of the Year locked up. Miriam Lee is a distant second. It's been a very good season on the LPGA Tour, Carlos, but it has been a little bit long. Many of the women are nursing injuries. Christy Kerr has been out of action. Michelle Wee and Mo Martin are just returning to tournament play this week in South Korea. As we mentioned, Lydia Ko has been nursing a hand injury that will require surgery at the end of the season. So there's, you know, the good news is the LPGA Tour has added a lot of tournaments, and there's a lot of opportunities for women to play. The bad news is it's kind of like the PGA Tour. The season goes long. It's on and on, and the body only will take so much. So, you know, and we talked about it before. These girls are doing a lot of international travel. They're over in Asia now. It's hard on the body. So one of the things that we've been watching, Carlos, through this year is that Charlie Hall has been trying to earn enough to make it to the LPGA Tour next season without going to Q School. If my math is correct, and this is hard to figure out because the LPGA doesn't put non-member statistics on there that make it easy to find, but if my math is correct, she has $136,899 in total earnings thus far, which would put her at number 77 on the LPGA Tour money list. I think anybody in the top 80 has status. We talked to Leanne Pace about that up in Grand Rapids a little bit when she was there for the Meyer Classic. You really need to be in the top 40 to earn full membership, and she would have to almost win an event to jump up that high. But I think she's planning to go to the final stage of Q School. Wouldn't be surprised if she'd win that or, you know, at least finish high enough to get her card full-time. But the season's winding down for the LPGA Tour. Just a few events left. Things look like they're pretty well decided. However, if Envy Park could throw a couple more wins in there yet in these last five tournaments, she could make it interesting with Stacy on that race to CME Globe thing.
Yes, and one of the great things that with this final Asian swing, we're going to see a lot of the youngsters there that are right now the future, one of the few of the future bright stars on the LPGA like Minjae Lee. We're going to see also Hannah Yang and the winner of the Evian Championship, Hyo-Yoo Kim. So that's going to be great to see them. So like you mentioned, also Charlie Hall in the future, we will be seeing her. Hey, let's talk a little bit now about the European Tour. It's also on its final swing. It only has three more tournaments before the final series, the final four. So it's going to be, they're going to be playing right now the Volvo World Match Play Championship, where GMAC is going to be defending. And what a prize Alexander Levy has by winning the Portugal Masters. He drew GMAC right there in the first round. So great opening for him. And Miguel Angel Jimenez, golf's most interesting man. There are two tournaments this weekend. The one, the Volvo World Match Play Championship, and the Hong Kong Open, where Miguel Angel Jimenez is going to be looking to be the first to win five times, and he's looking for three in a row right now, so he's the favorite there. After that, next weekend we're going to have in Australia, in Perth, the ISPS Hand Up Earth International. Then we're going to jump to the final series where the BMW Masters, the WGC HSBC Champions, the Turkish Airlines Open, and finally the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai is going to be held. So, hey, anybody at stake right now? No. Lauren McIlroy almost has this one right there. So only the top three can win it outright. So he's the heavy favorite after the set to the final series. The points are going to reset there, but he still has a lot of points ahead. He's like over 2,000 points ahead. So they're going to be set up to millions right now. Each dollar they have earned is going to go to 1 point. So, hey, Rory McIlroy, Fred, is winning it by a long shot. I think that he has to really drop, get injured or something just to lose the race to Dubai, Fred.
Yeah, you know, he just fell a little bit short on the FedEx Cup, especially there on Sunday on the last day. If you remember, he kind of just ran out of gas. But he played okay in the Ryder Cup, I guess. You know, not too snotty. they did win, and the Europeans won again. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, there's just three events left in the race to Dubai. MAJ, he's won Hong Kong 2 years in a row, I believe, right?
Yeah, he's looking for five now, three in a row. And for his fifth, he's Mr. Hong Kong.
He may want to get a place there, man. That's a good place for him over there. The Volvo World Match Play, that's always fun to watch. Always a good field there, and you know, the high quality. The final event will be the ISPS down in Perth, the Perth International in Australia. So, the four Race to Dubai finals, the BMW Masters and the WGC HSBC will both be in Shanghai. Of course, the WGC, you'll see some big name U.S. players in that also. That's always a pretty good event over there. Then they move to Turkey for the Turkish Airlines Open. And then the last tournament of the year, the World Tour Championship. The BMW Masters and the Turkish World Airlines each offer $7 million purse. And the WGC has an $8.5 million purse. And then the World Tour Final in Dubai has an $8 million purse. So they're playing for some pretty serious money on the European Tour there those last 4 weeks. And I think they have a rule that to win the thing, you got to play in at least three of the tournaments, I believe. You can't skip out. You got to be there. Of course, it's like the FedEx Cup where the field reduces every week till they get to the final. You've got, as you mentioned, Rory continues to hold the number one spot. Pretty secure in that. Don't see that changing too much. But, you know, you've got this guy from Spain, Sergio, is number two. And he's followed by Jamie Donaldson, Thomas Bjorn, Henrik Stenson, and Martin Keimer round out the top five in the Race to Dubai right now. So you got some pretty good people there. It's going to take some wins by those guys, and you're probably not going to see them a lot, playing a lot, but until we get to the Final Four here in a couple weeks. But not a lot can happen because they're playing for so much money. Things can change a little bit. If Stenson would jump up, win a couple of them, you know, like last year we got really hot at the end in the FedEx Cup, you know, things could happen.
Yeah, especially when the points, like I mentioned at the beginning, they are going to be reset. Even though they're going to be changed into points, the dollars are going to be changed into points, and you can see that Rory McIlroy has a real clear advantage there. Or he's right now over $2.2 million over Sergio, like you mentioned. Sergio. So, you know, and like you mentioned, they have to play at least two, and including the DP World Dubai Championship. So in order to be eligible to win it and also to be in the top 15 where the bonus pool, $5 million would be spread. So, hey, $30.5 million up for grab in four tournaments. That's big-time money. Anybody can win, like you mentioned, especially Hendricks. Somebody like Hendricks Stenson did last year come up, turns up the heat. They can win 49 tournaments, 26 countries, only one champion. We'll see who it's going to be. Hey, another league that is really coming down, and this one is almost end up right now, is going to be the Champions Tour. They're going to pick up the pace because they have 3 weeks to go only, and starting this weekend, the Greater Hickory Kia Classic. Then next week is going to be the AT&T Championship at TPC San Antonio, and the season-ending Charles Schwab Cup Championship is going to be at the end of October. So, hey, a lot of going on, but we have the leader of the Schwab Cup right now, undisputed, Bernhard Langer. He's leading by 771 points over Colin Montgomery, who's really, those two have seen the two-horse race. And unless Bernhard Langer really does really, really bad in this final three tournaments, he should be winning the Schwab Cup and Player of the Year finally for him. So what you think, Fred?
You know, Carlos, Langer's been leading this Charles Schwab Cup all year long. And as you mentioned, his only real challenger is Colin Montgomery, who has only just won two majors this year, by the way. but Langer is, like you say, 800 points ahead of Monty in the race. Langer's been just unbelievable this year. You know, five wins, four runners-up, three-thirds, 16 top tens, and 19 starts. You know what I mean? Three tournaments, he's only been out of the top 10 all year. He's earned $2.8 million. The only person I've ever seen to have a better year than what Bernhard Langer has had this year is that guy on the other tour that wears the red shirt on Sundays. You know, in 2000, he had nine wins, 17 top tens. Oh, and by the way, he won three majors in 2000. Oh, young guy, you know, that burst on the tour in 97, 96, Tiger Woods. Yeah, the guy that we don't get to see much. Yeah, that guy. He had a pretty good year in 2000, but that's about the only thing better than what Langer's had this year. He has really played well. As I mentioned, Montgomery's had the two majors, 10 top tens, and just 15 starts, so that's not too snotty either. And he picked up a couple wins in Europe, so he's had a pretty nice year. He'll be able to afford some Christmas presents. Monty started the year right off the bat. He had 10 top tens in his first 12 events, so he's finally getting some respect in the U.S. and seems very much at ease and very much at peace with himself and his game right now. You know, he seems to be in a really good place. Really, you know, I've never been much of a Monty fan, but really have enjoyed watching him play this year and his attitude and the way he's conducted himself. Jay Haas, Kenny Perry, and Jeff Sluman round out the top five in the Charles Schwab Cup. If Freddie Couples could ever stay healthy and play a full schedule, he would win the CSC, the Charles Schwab Cup, hands down. He's currently number seven on the point standing, and he's only played nine events all year. He's played about half. Not even half the events that most of the guys have played. So every time he plays, he finishes high, wins, makes a lot of money, but back just won't let him play that much.
Unfortunately for Boom Boom, he would really have to really agree with that. If he would play a full season, he could be there on the top. hey, that wraps up our practice range. It's over. Now we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to take our final putts. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Don't forget to check out our co-hosts on Twitter by clicking their names in the episode description. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now with our final 4 minutes, we have our final putts. So, Fred, take yours.
Hey, I just got a couple things real quick here, Carlos. Number one, we got an email this week from our buddy Kieran Clark. Got some medical issues going on. He's going to take some time off, so we're not going to be able to have him on the radio show, or he's going to be putting posts on eDraft for us here for a time. But we want to wish him all the best, and whatever he's going through, hope it all works out great for him. Another guy with some medical issues, Greg Norman, has been reported that he may not be able to play golf again after his little incident with the chainsaw. Good thing he picked up the gig with Fox Sports to do the golf analyst deal with Jack Buck as they pick up all the USGA tournaments this year. And a chart that I found very interesting this week, Carlos, that was in Global Golf Post. It's a chart that had the major accomplishment. There was 12 women who made all four cuts in the all five cuts in the five major championships on the LPGA Tour this year. And the 12 ladies were Ilhi Lee, Mina Harrigay, Yi-Hee Ji, Mia Lee, Jenny Shin, Brittany Lynchcombe, Lydia Ko, MB Park, Azahara Munoz, Lexi Thompson, Chen-Chen Fang, and Stacey Lewis. Their cumulative scores for those five events, NB Park was number five. Well, let me start. Lydia Ko was number six on the list. NB Park, number five. Azahara Munoz. Lexi Thompson was even for all five of them, even though she won the Kraft Nabisco with 14 under par total. Chen-Chen Fang was number two, which, you know, she's had a great year, and she's just done wonderful this year. Stacey Lewis had the best record to par in the five majors, even though she didn't win one, but she was minus seven to Kraft Nabisco, even at the U.S. Open, minus five at the British, minus five in the LPGA, and minus one at the Evian for a total of minus eight. So only 12 women made cuts in all five of the women's majors, and Stacey Lewis had the best cumulative score. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Very interesting. Hey, I have one more thing before we leave, and that's really, really quick. The PGA of America announced the creation of an 11-member task force that will examine all parts of the Ryder Cup process. That task force will study how the captains are chosen, the U.S. point system, the dates when the team is determined, the dates when the captain's pick will take place, and the selection of vice captains. I mean, everything they're going to be checking. Derek Sprague, the PGA Vice President and PGA Chief Executive Officer Pete DeVacqua will co-chair that task force. Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson would headline the task force as well from the player side. They'll be joined by fellow players Steve Stricker, Jim Furyk, Ricky Fowler, past Ryder Cup captains Raymond Floyd, Tom Lehman, and Davis Love III are also part of the group, which is rounded out by PGA of America Secretary Paul Levy. So this task force comes into play a few weeks after our third straight Ryder Cup loss against Europe. So, hey, remember, the 2016 Ryder Cup will be in Minnesota at some time, national club. So like you mentioned, Fred, earlier, the Ryder Cup remains on the news. Hey, that wraps up another week of the Back Nine Report. So, hey, join us. It's always our pleasure to bring you the latest on the world of golf. Special thanks to our VIG Very Important Guest of the Week, Peter Krastius, founder and CEO of the Golf Match app.
Don't forget to join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Block Talk Radio, and also through TuneIn. If you haven't done so, follow the show. And also on Twitter, our ID is at Back9 Report. My name is Carlos Torres, along with Fred Alfader. Be happy, be blessed, and enjoy the great game of golf. Happy golfing, everybody.
Phil and Tiger on the same boardroom. I want to be in those meetings. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.